Jesus, please take us from this grandstand world. It's time we got into the game.
Drifting on the Water. Drifting on the water, in a boat that is my life, pushing all the weeds away that cause my daily strife, watching out for driftwood in this world of pointed logs, knowing God protects me even in the densest fog. Drifting on the water, I'm a sailor on the sea. The more I try, the harder it becomes to just be me. Drifting on the water, I relax and float in peace, knowing that the safest course involves a deep release. Drifting on the water, there's so much I cannot see. How I got here is the question often haunting me. It seems my mind has got to know, but no, it never will, until I have an empty mind that Jesus Christ will fill. Drifting on the water, I'm a speck of universe, wedded to this life I'm in, for better or for worse. Drifting on the water, with a rainbow in the sky. Help me learn to love myself, my inner voice does cry. Drifting on the water, I'm a little child again, continuing down a tributary that will never end. A great big thank you to Julia Eckler for her instrumental entitled Elizabeth's Song, which I found at music.mevio.com.
Invitation Song. I discovered this guitar riff one afternoon while at Otter Creek. Eva was somewhere else in the park. I didn't have a tape recorder with me, and if I'm not careful, I can easily lose new tunes in guitar riffs, which God gifts to me. I had that fear. Wouldn't you know it, as I was trying to remember this tune and riff, people were coming up to me and requesting songs for me to play. I played them, and, amazingly, this tune would simply not be forgotten. Later, when I shared the tune with Eva, she wrote the words to the Invitation Song. We like this one because a lot of the Invitation Songs are very slow, but this one is upbeat, a little different. Bongos was the first instrument that I attempted to play in my early years of high school. After that, I acquired a guitar and began to learn the chords by making up songs to go with each new chord I learned. But bongos was my first instrument. I had a very tiny set of bongos and could only play with one finger of each hand. I was happy when Eva decided to get me a set of bongos and began to use them in these recording sessions. I am very pleased with the bongo work in the Invitation Song, and feel God's hand is on them as well. Here is the Invitation Song.
Child of earth, things are winding down. What you gonna do when this age is through? Carnal heart, when it tumbles down, tell me what you think is gonna happen to you. Jesus said, there's gonna come a day when the end of time is fully due. He sits on the throne of judgment, and the days of grace will soon be through. Jesus is the way and the life and the truth. None will enter heaven except through him. Turn to Christ. He's your only hope. Aren't you tired of trying to make it on your own? He'll restore your weary, broken heart. There's no need to feel as if you're all alone.
Well, Jesus is the answer to the flaws of human nature. He died on the cross to take your crimes from you. Eternal life is given to those who call upon him. You're never gonna find another friend so true.
Your reverence and your time. Don't you know that one day every knee shall bow? Time to let the love of Jesus shine. You can be delivered from your sins right now. Jesus is the way and the life and the truth. None will enter heaven except through him. Jesus is the way and the life and the truth. None will enter heaven except through him.
Does God really do to us what we do to others? We have been given free will. What we do with it is up to each of us. An absurd example of this freedom misused is we are free to throw a heavy stone onto our toes or pound our head with a sharp rock. We can do these strange things, but are they to our best interests? Of course not. The Bible says that God will do to us what we do to others. This is a rather complex law, and it would be very easy to be angry with God if he gives to us what we, inadvertently or in ignorance or even on purpose, gave to others. Then, when something bad happens to us, we may cry, "Why is God doing this to me?" It's impossible for us to keep track of every thought we've harbored that may have brought our current predicament on, or every physical action we may have taken that we could blame for our current situation. But the law that God set in motion remembers. Although somewhat hard to believe, we are mirrors of each other. Though we keep our individuality, God thinks of all of us as one. Astoundingly, he allows us to mirror each other as well as bounce things off each other until eventually we take the law that God will do to us what we do to others seriously. We will then at last decide to settle into peace through forgiveness, which, when it is finally given, is received. When that happens, we can wipe the sweat from our brow, smile, and say, "I finally get it. At last I understand how this works." God doesn't condemn us. We condemn ourselves by our treatment of others and our reactions to their treatments of us. We go about ignorant of the law that God will do to us what we do to others. But it is in God's Word, Matthew 7:2. I particularly like the contemporary English version which states, God will be as hard on you as you are on others. He will treat you exactly as you treat them. It isn't necessary for us to itemize each angry or hateful or unforgiving thought and try to rectify them. That would be too hard, and God knows that. He, therefore, allows us to try and learn this lesson again by showering us with the perfect people needed to help emphasize His law until at last we respond in a godly manner. In other words, we have a multitude of chances to choose once again, and this time, get it right. Hallelujah! We need to take this fact that we mirror each other all the way across the river of confusion that separates us from God. The more we refuse to forgive others, the wider the gap of the separation with God appears to spread. Now that we know this, we can deliberately choose to forgive more often and consequently grow closer to God and closer to Jesus. We need to recognize that in this world there are spiritual laws that cannot be broken. As we do or think about others, God's law, which He set in motion, does the same to us. Period. On the negative side, it is possible to emphasize our temporary home, our bodies, and think that by eliminating the bad guys, by killing their bodies, we rid ourselves of their horrid hatred and senseless killing. But is that trying to get around God's Word, which says that what we do to others, God will do to us? Remember, Jesus asked Peter to put away his sword when Peter had angrily cut off a guard's ear. Then Jesus healed the ear. Is it true that those who live by the sword may die by the sword? In all seriousness, is this world too dangerous to follow Jesus' command to love our enemies? Though we have fought and won hundreds of battles, the enemies keep popping up like nasty pimples on the human landscape. We fight and win, fight and win, fight and win, but in the long run, are we winning? If God's word is true, we can only win by dropping our defenses and loving our enemies. Then, no matter what our enemies do to us, we can be assured of God's love flowing to us because we have obeyed Him. The world's way is to annihilate. God's way is to incorporate. Even if they are terrorists? I didn't see an exception in God's word. Did you?
Jesus, please take us from this grandstand world. It's time we got into the game. We're so tired of this grandstand world where feelings never seem to change. Sometimes this world seems so unjust. I hope we'll find that through your mind, the sidelines aren't for us.